it sure is good to see each of you here this morning. I know it's a rainy day. I know the time has changed, but it's a great day to be in the Lord's house and to lift up our praise to Him. And I hope you have done that this morning as we have shared together in praising the name of Jesus Christ. He is good in every way. We're going to be talking about this morning where your treasure is. Where is your treasure this morning? Now, that's a question each of us needs to be able to answer and take a look at in our lives, at where our treasure is and what the things are that are important to us. If you really want to know what's important to you, it's been well said that you can look at a couple of things. Well, number one, where you spend your time, and number two, where you spend your money. And when we look at those things, we can find in our lives the things that have become important to us, the things that take up the time in our lives and the efforts that we put forward. And we begin to see those things in our lives today as we take a look at those. And something I want you to realize this morning is, as we talk about where your treasure is that you are one of God's treasures. You are a treasure to God. And He wants you to know that. As we sung that last song, that song brings tears to my eyes every time we sing that, because it's a reminder of the price that Jesus paid for me. The love that He has for me. That He counts me as one of His treasures. And He loves me. And folks, just like He loves me, He loves you. He cares about who you are. He knows the things that are going on in your life. And He cares. And He's at work. And He loves you. And folks, if you don't take anything else from the message this morning, realize this. God loves you. He cares about you. He has created you. He created you just the way He wanted you to be. And He desires a relationship with you that is real, that is personal, and that is eternal. There's no price that we can pay for that. But He paid the price, the ultimate price, His life on the cross for our sin. The blood of Jesus was given for you. For God so loved you so much that He gave His one and only Son. That if you'll believe in Him, place your faith in Him, He will come into your life and give you everlasting life. Folks, there's hope in the name of Jesus. And all the things going on in this world today and all the problems that we're seeing and facing, we need to realize this. There is hope in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'll read a few verses here, and we're going to talk about today where your treasure is. Where is your treasure today? And in the New Testament times, the people believed that the more material things that you had, the more God was blessing that person, that they were deserving of more. Now, a lot of people believe that today. A lot of preachers preach that today. But we don't really find that to be true in the Word of God, do we? Not necessarily. Now, God may bless us with material things, but we'll be talking about that. They're to bring honor and glory to Him. But a quick look around shows that that's not true. Because many a an evil person in this world has great material riches. And sometimes material riches are not the greatest thing. And most of the time we find those things out. And as we go through this life. But let's pick up in verse 19 of chapter 6. Jesus is speaking here and He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, For either he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Let me read verse 24 again. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Worldly things can look good, can't they? And when we look around, we see a lot of worldly things around us, a lot of the material things that are around us. They look good many times. Some people have a heart for the world, for the things that don't last. And as we look around, we see a lot of things that kind of catch our attention many times. We see some clothes that we just got to have. We see some furniture that would be just perfect in our house. We see a car that we've just got to have because we just feel like we'd look good in it and it'd feel good and it'd just make everything wonderful. We see a home that we just got to have. And we get a hold of these things and we begin to look at the things of the world and over time we begin to figure out wasn't quite as great as we thought it was going to be. And they don't last. You ever bought some clothes that you felt like you just had to have? You ever been cleaning out your closet? You know, it's spring cleaning time. A lot of people are going to be pulling things out of their closet. And you find something that you just had to have. Still got the tag on it. And you're taking it to the thrift store or someplace like that, or you're giving it away because you just don't want it anymore, but you never wore it in the first place. You have these clothes that you just had to have, and you pull them out, and there's a hole. Something's worn out. We get this car that everybody likes. The advertisements look good. And you get it home and there's a scratch. Oh no, it's the end of the world. There's a scratch. And then all of a sudden something needs repairing. And we begin to realize these things that were so important, they just don't last. The things that we thought we had to have, we begin to realize we didn't. Now here's one of the problems we get into many times. Instead of growing and learning about those things, what we begin to look for is bigger and better things. We try to replace those things with other things. We try to get something that looks better, that sounds better, that feels better. But, you know, the Bible lets us know the moths consume things. Rust destroys things. Thieves come in and take things away. Folks, the things that we're going through in our nation today, they're nothing new. Y'all realize that? People have been stealing and killing and taking and destroying for a long time. It's nothing new. Sometimes we just need to get a new focus, don't we? We need to get our eyes off of one thing and put them on another thing. We need to change our priorities from what we think ought to be important to what the Bible tells us is important. We take our eyes off the world and we put them on God. Worldly things can look good. And some have a heart for the worldly. But folks, some have a heart for the heavenly, for the eternal. And when we have a heart for the eternal, then we begin to realize that I can take whatever it is that God has given me and use it for His honor and glory. I can use my home for the honor and glory of God. I can use my car for the honor and glory of God. I can use my time, my talents, my wealth for God's honor and glory. That's why He's given it all to us anyway, isn't it? So we can bring Him honor and glory in all that we're doing. He has given it all. It's all His. It's all His. I believe I was listening to a sermon that Adrian Rogers preached the other day, and I believe he put it this way. You can trust God with what He's given to you. Now, our attitude many times is this: I've earned it, I deserve it, I can do what I want to with it. Well, doing what you want to with it may be what you do, but you don't get the blessing from it. You can trust God with what He's given to you. Everything that we have, God has given to us. Can we agree with that? He's given it to us. He's given it to us to use for Him, to bring Him the honor and glory. Our gifts, our talents, our money, our time, all that we have, it's all His. And folks, we need to get a heart for the eternal, a heart for God. Johnny Hunt is one of my favorite preachers to listen to. I've been to several of his conferences through the years, and Johnny Hunt will talk about having a heart that is hot for God. A heart that is hot for God. You know, we get our heart after so many things. We get caught up in so many things. We need a heart that's hot for God. Ready to serve, ready to give, ready to do whatever it takes to bring honor and glory to His name, to serve Him, to be a light to the world around us for the world to see. Worldly things can look good to us. They draw our attention. They take our focus away many times. But God is good and He is at work. Folks, we need to realize this. The eye focuses on what is important to you. Your eye is going to focus on what is important to you. I've preached on different things through the years, and I've had different folks come up to me and say, I don't struggle with that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem in that area. I don't know why folks struggle in that area. Well, folks, you may not struggle in one area, but you do struggle somewhere. You say you don't, I'm going to tell you right straight. Lying is one and pride is one that you got a problem with. Because we all struggle somewhere. There's not a perfect person in this room. What is your eye focus on? Where are you focusing in? And what needs to change? We like to look at beauty. We like to look at power. We like to look at position. We like to look at things. Our eyes are drawn to different places. And they catch our attention. And if we're not careful, they capture our heart. Instead of having a heart that is hot for God, our heart becomes hot after worldly things. And we lose sight and focus of what's really important and the direction that we need to be going in. Some Christians are seeing double, having trouble focusing. Y'all know I wear glasses now. When I came here 21 years ago, I didn't wear glasses. I could see well. One day I was reading my Bible in the pulpit, and I realized I couldn't see the words very well. I was struggling to read the words, and I knew if I was going to focus on the Word of God and in a way that I could read it, I needed to have glasses so I could focus in on what was important. Now, that's a physical thing. I want to ask you today, what is it in your life that needs to change so that you can focus spiritually on the things of God? So that God's things become more important than man's things. So that living for God becomes the most important priority of your life. Because folks, when we are right with God, it changes everything about the rest of our lives. Everything. When you're right with God,
Your family life will be better. Your work life will be better. Not because it's going to change, maybe, but because your focus is different. Because you begin to look at why you're there instead of what's in it for me. And isn't that what many of us are in this life about? Isn't that what we see many times? What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? I want to ask you today, what are you going to put into this? What are you going to put into your life that brings honor and glory to God in the various areas that you serve Him in? Folks, there are many Christians that are trying to satisfy God, but live in the flesh. There are many people that are trying to look good on Sunday morning, but live for the devil on Saturday night. And we're struggling. And we sit there and wonder, why am I struggling? Why am I having a hard time with it? And it's because we're not focused on what we need to. Our priorities are not where they need to be. Our treasures are worldly and not heavenly. And we get caught in the trap. And Satan enjoys it. You realize he enjoys watching us when we're struggling. He enjoys watching us when we're trying to look good, but we're not really good. You know, some folks are focused on the light. Folks, when we're in the light, we can see clearly where to go. We like being in the light more than the darkness, don't we? We like the light because we can see what's out there. We can see what's going on. We can see the things that are taking place. If you tried to drive at night without your lights on, it would be a problem, wouldn't it? You try to go through a place that you're not familiar with in the dark, it becomes a hard thing to do. But when we're in the light, when the lights are on, we feel more comfortable because we know evil resides in the dark. The Bible tells us this: Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. And He is the light that we need in our lives so that we can focus, so that we can see what needs to be done. When we're walking in the light, we become full of light. We can begin to shine a light. Jesus says, "I am the light," but to those who follow Him, He says, "You are the light." Wilsonville Baptist Church is to be a light to this community, to this world around us. We are to shine a light for the world to see around us. But we've got to be focused on the light. We've got to have our priorities in the right places. We've got to have our treasures stored up where they're supposed to be, in heaven. We need to be focused on Jesus. Focused on Jesus. Not just for this hour, but for every hour. Not just for the moments where we come together as the body of Christ, but we are Christians every day, all week long. And we're to shine for Jesus all week long. He goes on to tell us here, there can only be one Lord in your life. There can only be one Lord in your life. It's either Jesus or it's something else. It's either Jesus or something else. This is something I want you to understand this morning. Satan does not care what your focus is as long as it's not Jesus. He does not care who the Lord of your life is as long as it's not Jesus. There are many times we make some what look to be good things Lord of our lives, and Satan says, "Hallelujah, it's not Jesus." So the question is Jesus Lord of your life, Or is something or someone else? Who are you listening to? Who are you living for? Those are questions we need to answer in our lives when we're talking about what, where is my treasure? What is my treasure? I heard this statement made not too long ago. You can't do the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing. You can't do the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing. Anything other than Jesus is the wrong thing. He's either Lord or He's not. We get caught up in looks. We get caught up in pride. We get caught up in popularity. We get caught up in power and position. We get caught up in clothes and cars and homes and debt and all these other things that tend to take away. One more thing. I'll get in church regularly when I get this one more thing. I'll get into Bible study when this one more thing takes place. I'll join a small group when this takes place. I'll do what God would have me to do. And all these things get in the way of family, get in the way of friendship, get in the way of living our lives for Jesus. It destroys our witness. People look and they say, if that's what it's about. Now, folks, I understand there's nobody here that's perfect. And many times we throw that up and we throw that out as an excuse. And what the excuse turns into is, I'm not going to try anymore because I may mess up. And that's just an excuse. Folks, you are going to mess up. But the only way you're truly going to fail is if you don't try. If you don't try and strive to do what the Bible teaches us to do. We fail when we give up on the Holy Spirit working in our lives to help us to grow. To be a better witness than we were yesterday, last week, last month, last year. We grow. Or we don't. You can't do the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing. But you can't do the wrong thing when you're doing the right thing. When we begin to do the right things, we do fewer of the wrong things. We begin to get things in the right focus. We begin to move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. We begin to live as men and women of God. Paul said, I've had a lot, and I've had nothing. He said, I've been free, and I've been in chains. He said, I've been full. And I've been hungry. But you know what Paul says? I can rejoice in all things. Whatever situation I'm in. Why? Because I know this. God is faithful. And Jesus died for me. Paul walked away from power. He walked away from riches. He walked away from popularity. He walked away from all that to give his life to Jesus Christ. And it wasn't always easy. And sometimes everything was good. Going to a place and people excited because here's Paul. Sometimes here come the soldiers. Here comes the guards. They to arrest him and put him in jail. And for what? For preaching the gospel. For living for Jesus. And Paul would tell you this. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to take the stand. It's worth it to go the extra mile. It's worth it to do the right thing. Because Paul understood something that Jesus wanted us to grasp a hold of. That joy comes in a right relationship with God. Joy is not going to deal with the circumstances of life. Sometimes the circumstances of life just kick you in the teeth. Would you all agree with that? Circumstances on this earth get difficult sometimes for all of us. But God is still good. And God is still at work. And we can still have joy even in the hard times. Even when everything seems to be going wrong, God is still right. And I am so thankful for that. Folks, while I'm preaching this message, I want to remind you, money is not evil. Okay? The Bible never says that money is evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. When we fall in love with the worldly things, it becomes evil. But God gives us the things we need as we go through this life. And we need to learn to focus on Jesus. We need to learn to be content with where He has us right now and learn to serve Him where we are. Do you realize that God has you where you are for a reason? That God will use you in the job that you are in to bring honor and glory to His name. That God will use you in your home to bring honor and glory to His name. That God will use you in this church and in this community to bring honor and glory to His name. He has a purpose for you being where you are. Serve Him there and serve Him well. Allow Him to be the Lord of your life. Allow Him to be in control. Listen and follow. Because folks, He loves you. I'm going to finish this sermon where I started. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He cares about you so much that He chose not to let you die in your sin. He died for you. He went to the cross for you. He shed His blood so that you might have forgiveness and eternal life in Him. He did all the work. He went to the grave, dead, and rose 3 days later, alive and well. And He has ascended into heaven. He is still alive and well. And one day He will return, alive and well. One day He's going to call His children home. His children are those who choose to accept what He has done for them. And folks, it's a choice for every one of us. I can choose to accept what Jesus has done, or I can reject Him. I can accept the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of sin, or I can reject Him. I can place my faith in Jesus, or I can place my faith in something else. But folks, Jesus has done what He needed to do so that you would know that He loves you and that He desires a relationship with you. If you don't know Him today, He's waiting on you. My Bible tells me that the reason Jesus delays His coming again. And folks, there is nothing else that needs to happen before the rapture takes place. Absolutely nothing. It could happen today. My Bible tells me the reason Jesus delays His coming to call us home is so one more. He delays so that those who are lost might come to know Him. Folks, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Do you? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? If you don't know Him, I beg you right now, get to know Him today. There is no more important relationship you can have than a relationship with Jesus Christ. Out of all the relationships that we can have, this is the most important. And He is available for you right now. He's got time for you. He loves you and cares about you. For those of you who know Him, do you serve? Do you serve Jesus? Will you begin to serve Him? Will you begin to serve Him with all that He's given to you? Do you love Him? Do you love Jesus? Does it show? Question I want you to answer in your heart right now. Does it show? I will tell you this. God's love for you, it shows. Okay? He displayed it openly on a cross. His love for you. Do you extend God's grace and mercy to others like He's extended it to you? Folks, where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ today? I invite you to come this morning. I invite you to come today as God speaks to your heart. You may want to come to this altar. You may want to pray with somebody else in this room. Maybe your Sunday school teacher. Maybe a friend. Somebody you trust. I invite you to come. Maybe you want to move your church membership. Maybe there are those here today who have never been baptized. You know that you need to take that step as Jesus commanded. He set the example for us. You can follow. What is Jesus speaking to your heart about? I invite you to come. Father, as You speak to our hearts today, help us to be obedient. Help us to follow You. Help us to realize the importance today, right now, of living a life for You that draws others to You. And for those here today who do not know You as their Lord and Savior, Father, as You speak to their hearts, and their hearts are beating just a little bit faster right now, I ask You, we would continue to work and pray that that person today would open their heart to You. God, this is Your time. And we pray we would be obedient in Your name. I pray. And as we stand and we sing together, come.